Hey everybody, welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the Podcast. The podcast actually with no name yet. We have so much.
Great White North.
No, I told you that. I told you that before. Also, it's taken because the crazy people from the Canadian Center for Firearms Rights or Coalition of Firearms Rights. That's the name of this guy's channel, is the Great White North.
But we can totally do his podcast for him.
Yeah, I don't think so. My name is Glenn Lamont. This is my co-host, the Harge Man.
Just Harge. Or just the Harge Man.
Harge.
Or Fuckface, whatever you want to call it.
Hey now. We have so much to talk about on the show today. Floyd George, for obvious reasons, it's everywhere. It's one of the biggest episodes of this particular century. Very polarizing. We're going to talk about Trudeau and his famous 21 seconds of silence. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught that. More on Meng Wanzhou. And, of course, your favorite, we also have some COVID-19 conspiracy theories. So
you've been looking into COVID-19 conspiracy theories?
Well, I didn't have to. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And mine are probably actually a little more just what's common in the news. Mm-hmm. It's mostly racist stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing, the link between WHO and China and our own Dr. Theresa Tom, you know, and it's just racist bullshit. But, you know, that's out there. We had two of our Canadian conservative MPs who were basically said everything short of just go back to China, Theresa. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're doing well up here in Canada. We're progressing. Oh, my God. So, how has your week been?
My week has been, I've been okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think I get as angry and worked up about these things and social movements as maybe other people do. I kind of sit back and watch. I've just been watching and wondering.
Yes.
I watch the news and it's like conspiracy theories coming from both sides. It's like it's white nationalists fomenting fucking rioting. No, it's Antifa. And either way, the end result is the same. We're not talking about issues of racism or class. We're talking about a couple bad people ruining peaceful protests for everyone. But it seems to me that people are paying fucking attention right now because these protests haven't always been peaceful.
Well, here's the thing. With I have not seen any one of these murders by police in the past, I'm just going to say 5 years, that have been as polarizing as this particular one with Floyd George. Mm-hmm. And that is only because that video, right? Like somebody, you know, stayed on the scene and videoed, and that was everywhere on the internet.
Wait a second. Isn't it George Floyd?
What did I say? Floyd George? My apologies.
I was watching a Floyd Mayweather fight last night.
So. I was going to go there next. George Floyd, yeah. So his murder videotaped, and it was everywhere. It was. You couldn't turn on the news. You couldn't look at a social media feed without that video being there. And here's the thing. I think for a lot of people, especially a lot of white people, you know, they've seen violence, but they never actually witnessed somebody being murdered. Mm-hmm. And that was huge. Mm-hmm. And what you have is, you know, I think a lot of people trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And what is that?
Well, I have an ongoing, and it's really weird because I normally don't get involved in Facebook comment feed things. What do they call them? Threads.
Yep.
But I posted.
You're still on Facebook? You're an old man, Glenn.
Well, you know what? I use it. It's good for, I don't use it for anything personal. Mm-hmm. I only use it for, you know, raising awareness, causes, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So nothing personal. And, but I had posted the thing that, I can't remember if we talked about it last week, but basically how the narrative should be reframed, right? In that what you have is a lot of people saying, you know, the murder of young black men is a tragedy, but the looting has to stop. And it should actually be reframed as the looting of all these stores is a tragedy, but the murder of young black men needs to stop. That's what I posted.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine in the UK, and this is weird because I've known this guy for years, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you have found this to be true, but ever since, A, starting in 2016 with Trump, and then B, most recently with the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown and everything else, I am finding out a lot about people that I know that I didn't know before and didn't even expect or suspect. Mm-hmm. And so this buddy of mine over in the UK, what I noticed first on my Facebook was that he had changed his profile to, like, during Brexit, mm-hmm. to the Union Jack. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. He lives in Scotland.
Yeah.
He's English, but he lives in Scotland. So, and I started, at first, he's a funny guy. Like, he is. He's a very funny guy. I love this man. But I just started to notice stuff on his feed where I was like, what the hell? He's probably on purpose just winding me up.
Well, it's right? not difficult to do.
No, it's not. And, you know, supporting like Boris Johnson and supporting Brexit and all this stuff, right? And how the European Union, the EU was robbing everybody blind, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, so I posted that thing about how we need to reframe the narrative. And then he came back with a photograph of a dead shop owner who happened to be black. And also mentioned something about a 5-year-old girl getting killed. Now, I don't remember anywhere in any of the riots in any of the cities about a 5-year-old girl getting killed.
There was a girl who got pepper sprayed.
There was a girl who got pepper sprayed. Yeah. But when I actually did a little digging, I found out that in Chicago, it was a drive-by mm-hmm. where a young girl got mm-hmm. killed. And so the thing about it is, so right away, they were just using cherry picking, which is quite common, right? You want to prove your point. So you cherry pick the facts or photographs that kind of fit the narrative for you. And so I just fired back with this huge, it didn't fit, you know, it had to like see more. Talking about, first of all, look, this is where it happened and this is what it was. It wasn't a part of the riots. And because what they were talking about was black on black crime, essentially, which is a real dog whistle, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the go-to for your alt-right, for your KKK, you know, inbred hillbilly types. It's like, well, black on black crime, you know, that's the problem. No, it's not the fucking problem. What, are you kidding me?
Well, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
You can't say it's not a problem.
Well, you want to hear what I have to say about what I said to him? Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me find it. Because I'd like to talk about some other stuff today as well. But where the hell is that? Not there. Not there. So, but anyways. So I ended up, it's very unusual. We've had an ongoing thing now for a while where I'm like, why am
I... Oh, you're having an online feud.
Yeah, and I've never done that before.
It's downright, it should be the last time that you do it. You can't win these things.
Well, okay. So this is what I just want everybody to know. This is what I responded with to his... his thing. Okay, so I said, black people aren't uniquely predisposed to commit crimes against each other. Crime is generally just racially segregated, based on a number of factors, including that most people commit crimes against people they either know or live near. True. According to the FBI's 2014 Uniform Crime Reports, close to 90% of African-American homicides were committed by other African-Americans, while the majority, 82%, of white American homicide victims were killed by other white people. Another factor that contributes to crime is poverty. We all know this. A 2014 special report by the Department of Justice found that black and white households that live in poverty were much more likely to be victims of crime and were victim of crimes at similar rates, 51.3 per 1,000 compared with 56.4 per 1,000 respectively. Black people are more likely to live in poverty without the resources necessary to get out of it. Redlining practices targeting black communities have deprived entire neighborhoods of their economic viability for generations. A 2015 report by the Century Foundation found that more than one in four African Americans lived in concentrated poverty in comparison to one in 13 white people. Meanwhile, white families have six times as much wealth as black families, and the poverty rate for black people, 27.2%, is almost three times that of their white counterpoints, 9.6%. Additionally, unemployment is far higher for black people and always has been, by at least 60% since data collection started in 1972. At the end of 2015, the black unemployment rate was 9.5%, only slightly less than the national peak. And yet, politicians and government officials have advocated for community policing programs to curb crime, despite a lack of evidence demonstrating that it effectively does so. In September 2015, Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced that the Department of Justice would provide $12 million for these programs. In fact, racist policing can exacerbate these issues. Some departments try to turn a profit by ticketing, which tends to exploit racially biased policing practices. The Department of Justice report on Ferguson, Missouri, showed high incarceration rates there because residents often could not afford to pay the fines incurred from ticketing and that they disproportionately face. And a panel of New York police officers recently admitted they often target the most vulnerable, poor people, people of color, and LGBTQ people to meet quotas. Violence within black communities and the over-policing of black people are linked. But if an honest conversation is going to be had about either topic, especially in light of the latest officer-involved fatal shootings of black people, it needs to be based on the fact that black-on-black crime is simply not black people's making.
So what did Union Jack say back to you?
He responded with, if we all can't learn to get along, we're doomed. What the fuck?
Well,
I feel like...
That's not the worst of all possible
responses. I know, but I kind of feel like I spent a lot of time and...
He didn't read it.
Yeah.
He didn't read it.
No, he didn't. If we can, yeah. Can't we all just get along?
That was Reginald. Who was that? Reginald Denny?
That was Reginald Denny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't go online to be convinced.
No, they don't. And it was dumb of me, except he's a buddy.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it was dumb of me to even, And now I can see, because I read sometimes like other people's feuds and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Just stop.
Yeah.
For love of God. Yeah. What's the point? So, but here's the thing that I found social media wise. And this is something that white people do more, I think, more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I think people who, well, no, yeah, white people. Because I was going to say people who don't fully grasp the situation or understand it. They want to help, right? They really do. They want, their hearts, you know, are in the right place. But it's so easy to do, like they did Blackout Tuesday, where that was where everybody changed their profile picture to just black, right? Mm-hmm. And they did it on Instagram too. And hashtag Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And You know, and it's just one of those things where, yeah, that's great, but you know a week from now, it's going to be something else. They're going to have moved on. And nobody is actually saying what needs to be said. Nobody is talking about systemic racism. Nobody is talking about racism in policing, which is, I mean, trust me, it's just as bad in Canada as it is in America. But I don't know, Canada has, we have a better PR guy. I don't know.
I think we have less people walking around with guns, so the cops less likely to pull it
on you. And you know, and that's another thing too. I grew up in farm country. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a household that didn't have at least two rifles mm-hmm. and a shotgun. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So I don't, I think we have, I bet you if you got the facts, got the stats, I bet you per capita, we have just as many.
I don't think so. I don't know anyone. Actually, I don't know one person who owns a gun.
And legally or illegally?
Okay, I know a number of people who own guns. I know one person, no, two people who legally own guns. And it's interesting because I think once you get into guns, it's mm-hmm. like they don't own one gun.
No.
They own all the fucking guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you do, yeah. Right? So, anyways, yeah, so it's very easy for people to, you know, do that thing. And I think people want to help. They don't know how. They don't know. We've talked about this before, right? I've had these conversations. I mean, it's my hobby is to wind up. Well, I shouldn't wind up. I call shit out, right?
Yeah.
When I see it. And people get really upset.
Because that's not the way to convince people.
I know, but it's like, why are you getting so upset? It's like, I'm not a racist. I didn't say you were, but you're getting awfully upset about something that you're not.
Yeah.
So, you know, people want to, they want to do the right thing. They don't know how. And to me, rather than go to a protest, which is great. It's nice to see numbers and all that, but
it's also nice to get out of the house for a change.
Get out of the house.
Although theoretically, you're not supposed to.
No, you're not. And that's the other thing,
and the
too.
Media doesn't seem to be making a big deal about that.
No, I know.
Which is interesting.
Isn't it? So, you know, as it's, yeah. I mean, don't just go to a demonstration. Don't do it as an Instagram opportunity. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that's what people tend to do. Here's me at the anti-racism thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, good for you, I guess.
Yeah,
but
at least that, like,
but you're missing the point yeah. entirely.
At least throw a brick or something.
Well, you know, at least understand.
I don't condone violence, no.
At least understand what you're doing and why you're there. So to me, I always say the same thing. If you really want to help, if you want to become an ally, then educate yourself, right? Read, like, get an idea of what it's like to experience racism on a daily basis. And there's so many good books. And there is Robin Maynard. Mm-hmm. If as far as Canadian books go, where did I have it? It is Robin Maynard, right? Yeah. Policing Black Lives, State Violence in Canada from Slavery to the Present. Mm-hmm. Robin Maynard's great. I follow her. I follow another...
Is she white?
No, she's a black lady.
Yeah.
I think from back east. Mm-hmm. And another woman from right here in Vancouver, who I'm always been a big fan mm-hmm. of for a long time, who I got to know of when I was working in the downtown east side, mm-hmm. and that's Harsha Walia. Mm-hmm. And she is now, for a long time, she was with like, Without Borders and a few other organizations. She's had a lot to do with the Downtown East Side, mm-hmm. the Women's Memorial March for many, many years. She is now the, ED of the BC Civil Liberties, Association or mm-hmm. Union, whatever it is. Yeah, so educate yourself, right? Yeah. So you cannot, as a white person, you're not going to get it. You know what I mean? You can't watch a couple of documentaries and go, Or I've seen every episode of Dear White People. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not going to give you what you need to know.
Well, I don't think it's a problem that's exclusive to white people.
Probably not.
As you know, I don't see color. For a long time, I didn't see color. I've only recently become aware of the fact that you're a white man.
Okay.
And
what tipped you off?
Despite the fact that I've experienced some racism in my life, it's like I've never felt its weight or experienced it as a big theme.
And why? Why do you suppose that is?
First of all, we didn't really talk about it when I was a kid. There wasn't a lot of bitching or complaining that we're hard done by because we're new to this country and people once in a while throw a rock at your window or call you a dirty Hindu.
Even though you weren't Hindu.
Oh, whatever.
See, that's what I'm talking about, yeah, right? Even get your insults straight, you know what I mean?
I know, but it's a silly thing. I mean, I'm not a Hindu, but we still use the word Hindu.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Why? I don't know. You called me that at work once. You called me that when we were in the office and somebody was like, oh, my God, there's a spider. And I picked it up and put it outside. Yeah. And you were like, what are you, a Hindu?
Yeah. Well, yesterday I had some guests come over and there were a bunch of people in the car. And I'm like, yo, look, the six Hindus in that Jag. And it's just, or I could say six Desis or six brown people. I don't know. Sometimes we say it sounds better than six Punjabs.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though Punjab is a place.
Yeah, it's a place, but it's also an ethnicity, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But, it wasn't, there wasn't a big emphasis on color when I was a kid, especially among my family, as something that's going to limit you, or we didn't have an idea that somehow we were going to be oppressed. The message that I got from my dad was work hard, get that money. Because if you got that money, they can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's watching him in his life is sort of what I've experienced. Like he gets to be himself. He gets to embrace his ethnicity. He gets to straddle the line between being Punjabi and Canadian, and he's okay. But he's also fucking rich.
Well, here's the thing, right? So if you are a person of color, and you don't come from privileged circumstances, then I think it's a whole other story.
There's also a bigger story there, the difference between first generation and later cohorts of immigrants that come to a country, which is a discussion that maybe you don't want to hear. People don't think it's very, very... People are touchy about it, but the people that come to a country first tend to do pretty goddamn good for themselves because they're the type of people that come to a foreign country, they're gutsy.
Right.
And once the road is paved for immigration, once it's easier to come, you get people coming later that maybe wouldn't have been able to overcome the barriers to coming in an earlier day. And
sure.
Maybe and certain traits that help the early comers do well in the society.
And so here's the thing. When, you know, when people look at the situation, so you'll either get, you know, bleeding heart white liberals who just, I just want to help and please make it stop.
That's more annoying to me than it a fucking is, well, racist. Yes. I want to slap people.
It's annoying to me.
Yeah.
And then you have the flip side of the coin where it's just like, well, just tell them to quit whining.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at the history of immigration, let's just, for the sake of argument, look at Sikh people, any people from India, all over India, not just Punjab.
Well, Sikh people, we do okay.
I mean, the town I grew up in.
Because we like to drink.
Town I grew up in, there had been Sikh people there for a long time. Mm-hmm. It had one of the, if not the oldest Sikh temple.
Where is this?
In Abbotsford.
Abbotsford does have, not the oldest, but one second or third.
Yeah.
The oldest one is in Paldi, which is in on Vancouver Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyways, you know, you can look at that, but then look at the history in America of slavery. So, and this is the whole point. Whenever people go, oh my God, that was so long ago. But the bottom line is, you know, and if I was black, I'd be like, you know what? I didn't fucking ask to be here. And you people still treat me like shit.
No, it's not an immigrant story.
No, it's not. It's they were brought here as slave labor. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that they stopped being slaves was because they found other energy sources at the end of the day, right? You know, there was coal, there was steam. These kinds of things started to happen. And it was like, okay, yeah, we're good now.
And in the end, even after the abolishment of slavery, there was still sharecropping. And,
oh, yeah, there was all that shit. Well, and, you look at...
And all the land plots that were given to emancipated slaves were eventually bought up by white landowners. So, I mean...
Yeah.
It was a return to the old with a shinier face.
Yes, exactly. And the, well, the 13th Amendment itself, right, was basically... that was their get out of jail free. Well, that's not a good way to phrase it. That was their loophole, right? Because in the 13th Amendment, it says slavery is abolished except in the case of anyone who commits a crime. So, you know, what do you get arrested for walking down the street while being black? Mm-hmm. You know, he looked at a white woman. I'm pretty sure. You know, so let's throw him in jail. Let's put him on a chain gang. The amount of labor from prisons in the South, well, all over the states, but more so in the South, I think, that produced goods was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So they really, even with the 13th Amendment, it wasn't really gone, mm-hmm. you know? And so to this day, there is still, and it's mind-boggling. It's just like, they just won't let it go. Like, you know, white people in the U.S., just like, we can't. It's only been 400 years. We just can't.
It's a tough thing to look at.
Fuck me. So, which brings me to our beloved leader here in Canada, Justin Moistly Trudeau, who has taken a lot of shit lately. And he keeps like...
What's he taking shit for?
Well, he took shit the other day because somebody said, hey, basically a reporter said, hey, what's the deal? What do you think about what Bonehead down there in the States is doing? Isn't that horrible? And he paused for 21 seconds.
No, I would think that that's a pretty good thing. A man who stops to think before he talks.
Exactly.
I respect that.
And then
a man with shoe polish on his face. I respect that.
Yeah, well, he's like, every time he opens his mouth, he's like, just don't mention the blackface. Don't.
You know, interestingly enough, when I saw that shoe polish face, I kind of liked him more. But then when I see him take the knee there at the protest, I'm like, what a little
fucking bitch. He's a dick. But here's the thing.
Just own it.
So he did the 21-second pause, and then he came out and basically said, in a nutshell, we really shouldn't be pointing fingers at them when we have so much work to do here.
Good man.
And I went, yes, I actually agree with you again. This is like three times I've agreed with him.
Yeah.
See,
the world is fucked, Glenn.
I know.
Like, things are very, very confusing for you right now.
Tell me about it. And that's the thing. So people got pissed at him. They were like, what a pussy. Mm-hmm. You can't stand up to Trump. So two things here. First of all, Trudeau is right. We have no right whatsoever to point our fingers at the Americans and go, wow, you guys should get your shit together, clean up your act. You know, it's like, wow. Because here, first of all, our history with indigenous people in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we have, you know, basically we are a colonial country. That's how we were founded, came here, just took shit, raped, murdered. Boom, it's ours now. We got a country. What do you think? And we have continued to have an abysmal relationship with First Nations people, with Aboriginal people in this country.
And the rates of incarceration for First Nations people is sort of a mirror of the rates of African-American incarceration.
It's exactly. Yeah. And whenever you want to talk about racism in policing in Canada, it's usually directed at First Nations people. And did you know... In the past 2 months, and this is like nowhere in the headlines, just in the past 2 months, five people who were all First Nations, who were all Aboriginal, have been killed by the police in Canada. But nothing. None of it, like, it was in the local, you know, news where they were killed. Two of them were in Winnipeg on the same day, right? And then the latest was in New Brunswick, where it was a quote-unquote wellness check.
Yeah.
And the woman got shot 5 times.
Well, at least one of the cases in Winnipeg, I think a young man had stolen a car and was going on an absolute rampage.
I mean, it could be, but I'm very suspicious of any time there's a police shooting of anyone who's Aboriginal, because it's just, I mean, when I think of racism in policing in Canada, the two names that come to mind immediately are Justin Bushy and Tina Fontaine. So they, to me, stand as, you know, the landmark cases there where, one, a white farmer shot a kid. He was essentially a kid, and walked, right? You know, got acquitted. It was, I'm pretty sure, it was like straight out of To Kill a Mockingbird. And then Tina Fontaine, who was a 15-year-old girl who had been essentially left alone. Social services had put her, child protection had put her in a hotel in Winnipeg. Like, just, here you go, here's a room for a 15-year-old girl. There was nobody with her, and of course she wandered off. And the guy who was charged, so they found, they fished her body out of the river, and there was a boatload of evidence against this guy, but again, he walked because they were saying it was all circumstantial. Anyways, regardless, you know, our history here in Canada is pretty shameful. But also, what most people don't know is, even though America had 400 years of slavery, we had 200 of it up here. Why? Our countries were founded by the same people.
We were essentially the same country.
We were.
We were the part of this. We were part. We were parts of the same empire.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, there was the eventually,
except the French bit.
Yeah. Well, first it was New France.
Yeah.
Which is Quebec.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was slavery there, and also besides African slaves that we had. Here in Canada, there was also First Nations, Aboriginal slaves. Yeah. So, yeah, we got nothing to brag about when it comes to our track record.
And saying that there was First Nations on First Nations slavery is not an argument that you can invoke here. Because it's true, lots of societies have had slavery, but it's always fucking wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, he did it. So if he jumped off a bridge, we know the argument. Once again, our prime minister, like I said, I ended up agreeing with the guy. And the other thing is, not only was he right, we have nothing to brag about when our track record on racism and slavery here in Canada is no different than America, but also put yourself in his position as a world leader. Like, okay, it's just like armchair jocks, you know what I mean? Like, I love these fucking guys in the bar watching MMA, watching UFC, you know, who were like, oh, yeah, pussy, I can't believe you let him choke you out. These guys have never had a fucking chokehold put on them in their lives. They've never been on the mats. They've never, nothing, right? I equate it to the same thing. So you got people going, oh, I can't believe that you wouldn't stand up to Trump. Like, you, oh, man, you're such a pussy. But you're a world leader.
Yep.
You're the leader of a nation. Your biggest trading partner is now ruled by a crazy person. Now, like, I don't know. Do you want to piss them off? They also have the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet.
That's a bit of a canard. No one's using the nuclear arsenal.
But you know what I mean? So you've got a trading partner like that, and And China is another example of where people were saying, oh, you didn't stand up to them either.
Yeah. I think what you're insinuating is, like, if you're in a situation like that, in the situation that he's in as a world leader, all this stuff you described, you would want a man to make some calculations before he opens his mouth.
Basically.
And it seems like that's what he did. But people are saying that...
No, they're pissed at him.
They're pissed at him for what?
They're pissed at him because they're saying
because they
Trump...
they wanted an Instagram or Facebook type screed.
Yes.
They wanted just a reaction.
Yeah. And they're saying Trump... I said that twice. I can't say it a third time because he might appear if I drew a pentagram on the floor.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, my God.
If Trump appeared here right now, that would probably be the best thing that ever happened for any podcast anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm really torn there.
I ran out of Adderall. I mean, we could have served that too if he showed up.
So anyways, it's they're saying, you know, Trump is a bully. And you didn't stand up to him, is basically the... And my attitude towards that is, really, this should be the least of our worries at this point in time. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of a world health pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're expecting another outbreak, a second wave come the fall. Crazy-ass rioting going on. Which is not just confined to America now. It's all over. The other one. I got to put this in here before I forget, speaking of rioting. Mm-hmm. Nordstrom's here in Vancouver. I guess they have a store in Pacific Center, right?
The most successful Nordstrom in North America.
Is it?
Yes.
So they boarded it, like they reopened, because phase two were slowly... You know, easing our way back into shopping and restaurants and things like that. So they reopened. And then one day people went, hey, how come it's all boarded up again? Did we go back to phase one? And Nordstrom said, no, their official, you know, press release said we were concerned about rioting and looting.
Mm-hmm.
And people in this kills me. People in Vancouver were pissed.
Why?
They were like, what? How could you? We're not like that.
No, we're
we
not.
Have.
We only get all bent out of shape when our fucking
if we
hockey
lose
team loses.
A hockey game. Yeah. I know we've had two riots.
Yes.
Over hockey.
Over hockey. That's it.
So if I'm Nordstrom, I'm going board that fucker up now. Yeah. Let's just not take any chances. These people riot over.
They probably take orders from their American HQ as well, right?
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Nordstrom's boarded up and people got upset.
On a side note.
Yeah.
If you're on the streets in downtown Vancouver.
Yes.
And you want to get away from white people, just duck into Nordstrom. None of them can afford to shop there. It's like going into a fucking bubble tea restaurant.
Mm. No, that's true. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
You're racist.
Oh, probably. Yes. I'm sure I've said many things. I know for a fact I have said many things that have been racist in my past, especially when I was drinking.
Yeah.
Didn't think too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think too much about anything back then.
So I want to pipe in something on this Floyd George thing and
George Floyd.
Floyd.
Got you doing it now.
On this Floyd Mayweather thing. just can see that people get all bent out of shape about that. But when my wife brought this up to me, I was, I'm not shocked, and I wasn't really making that big a deal about it, because the first thing I thought is, well, you know, for me, closer to home is like we have an equivalent situation with Indigenous people, and
yes,
I'm a little more concerned about that. If I only have so much space in my heart and mind to care about a cause, so I'll probably care about a cause closer to home, something like that.
Yes.
And she was all bent out of shape about that. She's like, well, you know, this is going on here and here too. And I said, yeah, but the situation for Indigenous people in Canada is probably worse than the situation for Black people in Canada. And then I had the temerity to insinuate that, like, the only reason people, not the only reason, people care. I think people have awoken to something that they were not aware of. But also, Black is cool. Red is not. Well, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I know. Black culture is cool. Yeah. Black music is cool. What was that epic Chris Rock thing? I'm not going to say it because, I mean, I would say it if the mic was on. But it's like everyone wants to be black, but don't no one want to be black?
Yeah.
He doesn't say black.
No,
he says
I know.
N-word.
Yes.
Right?
And which, by the way, apparently now has been replaced with thug. I was just reading that.
Can I say that's gay?
I don't know. I'm just saying. This is what people are complaining about now. Mm-hmm. Is every time, and they're right. I've read it, mm-hmm. and I've seen the people who use that term the most.
Yeah.
Thug. People refer to Obama as a thug.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's the new N-word mm-hmm. for the alt-right, for the racists and mm-hmm. the KKK and all those weirdos. So, just thought I'd throw that in there as well. But what you're saying about, you're right. Nobody wants to look at the third world poverty that Indigenous people in Canada live in.
Yeah.
You hear the same stereotypes that you hear in the States about.
They're lazy.
Yeah.
They're intoxicated.
Yeah.
They're not
they're
working because they get
all
a handout.
Yep. Everything.
They make excuses.
But nowhere else, you know, in a civilized nation as rich as Canada, would you still have, you know, the reserve system where, mm-hmm. I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's well over half that don't have potable drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Where else does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the health conditions are alarming. There's a lack of health care. There's a lack of health professionals that will go to remote areas.
Even when health professionals do go there, or mental health professionals, there's always the possibility of them appearing condescending.
Oh yeah, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, nobody wants to look at that. And I guess for Canada, you know, it's something that has been the elephant in the room for a long, long time. And only recently have they started teaching about residential schools mm-hmm. in the school curriculum. And the fact that the last one closed in like 1996, and what happened in those residential schools, not just the sexual abuse, but also the experiments. And if you want to get into the conspiracy thing,
there's lots of stuff there.
Oh my God. There was a mass grave found on Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Close to Port Alberni, I mm-hmm. believe. And what they discovered, you know, with those bodies was that a lot of this was medical experiments
mm-hmm.
and they would starve them. They would,
this is echoes of Tuskegee in the States, which people know about.
Yep.
But I mean, how many times did that probably happen in Canada?
And, you know, I read another thing too, that, the architect here in Canada of the residential school system. Now some of the architects of the final solution, in Hitler's, regime in the Second World War based the concentration camps on the residential school system here in Canada, or, and maybe at least borrowed heavily from it.
I don't know. I mean, I think I see what the residential schools were. It was a systematic operation of destroying a culture.
Well,
in
it,
a way of life.
Yeah, I mean, it was cultural genocide. And, well, I mean, it wasn't just cultural. It was just genocide.
And probably breeding in a subservient class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, there was a lot of what went on in a lot of residential schools was the children there weren't being taught anything. They were being used as agricultural labor, as domestic labor, all kinds of stuff, right? But
and then you had a generation of broken parents.
Yeah, yeah, and that, well, and you hear this a lot, right? You know, people who poo-poo the idea of intergenerational trauma, you know, it's like, well, you weren't in residential school. What are you whining about? You know, get off your ass and get a job. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I know from my own experience, you know, and with dysfunctional families, that if you have generations of alcohol and drug abuse and mental health raising children, it's intergenerational trauma for sure.
Yeah.
But going back to what's cooler as a culture, I have only one thing to say to that. Snotty nose res kids.
Mm-hmm.
The best hip hop band from Vancouver ever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've checked them out.
Yeah.
Their videos are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. Timely. And, influential. Amazing.
Yeah, but the girls on Instagram or kids making TikTok videos are not mimicking or aping snotty-nosed res kids.
Well, you know, it's funny
and
because...
And they're not going to any fucking time soon.
Well, you know, and they have a huge following.
Yeah.
And if you've... Have you ever watched APTN?
No, I don't think so.
Amazing programming, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. The Aboriginal People's Television Network. Amazing programming. Mm-hmm. Original dramas. Great arts programming. Live music. All kinds of stuff. So I beg to differ. It's an amazing culture.
I'm not saying that it...
No,
that
I know you're
isn't
not.
Amazing, but... or there isn't a lot of wonderful stuff going on, but I'm just saying that it's not on the radar.
No, it is
the same way.
You're
the same way that Black African American culture is, and how could it be? You're talking about APTN,
yes.
A cable channel that's sort of it's like channel 10,002, and you got to pay extra money to get it.
No, as you opposed, don't. Do you really?
Yeah, as opposed to American culture is beamed into us 24 hours a day.
So now here's something that I'm very curious about. Going back to race relations. America, and I guess here in Canada as well, because I'm sure that we have some very conservative people of color in politics. But America.
We have conservative people of color, period.
Well, I guess, yeah. But, you know, this is someone I do not understand in the least. And this is. Candace Owens, do you know who she is?
No. Who is she?
So, U.S. President Donald Trump has shared an interview in which conservative activist Candace Owens describes George Floyd as a symbol of a broken culture in Black America today and insists that he was not a good person. Now, what's the picture in your head of this woman?
Candace Owens.
But just from what I've just described there, what's the picture in your head?
Kind of like one of those dried up Fox News bitches.
Yeah, like a real fucking Karen, right?
Yeah, a real fucking Karen, yes.
Yeah, so Mr. Floyd died last month in Minneapolis after a police officer pinned him to the ground with a knee to the neck for nearly 9 minutes. The killing has sparked days of protests across the U.S. against racism and police brutality, and also demonstrations around the world. But as the Black Lives Matter movement runs into its 12th consecutive day with demonstrators calling for police reform and an end to systemic racism, Ms. Owen said she'd been left sickened by the fact that he, Mr. Floyd, has been held up as a martyr. So, first of all, I got to say, Candace Owens, besides being a crazy person, is also a Black woman.
That's okay.
I don't get it.
That's okay.
She's a big Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I don't have it here, but apparently she tweeted...
Blacks for Trump, baby, all day long.
No, she tweeted, I'm proud to be called an Uncle Tom. Uh-huh. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
Owen said she had no interest in politics whatsoever before 2015, but previously identified as liberal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing not. In 2017, she began describing herself as a conservative Trump supporter.
Uh-huh.
Owens has since characterized Trump as the savior of Western civilization.
Uh-huh.
Like, does she not realize he hates black people? Like, she just doesn't... She must be aware of this.
I don't think he hates black people. I just think he doesn't think much of any people.
Well, yeah, that's true. He's too stupid to actually take a stand one way or the other.
Is not stupid.
He is. He's an idiot.
No, he's a piece of shit. Don't get it twisted.
You think he's smart enough to actually know what he's doing?
I think he's smart enough to get liberal media twisted. To follow baubles in different directions. And for the most part, he always knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a real P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to manipulate and all that stuff. And he's a showman.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's dumb as fuck. He's dumb as a post.
But, I mean, he has the...
If you asked him to point out any one of the...
He has the intelligence of a grifter.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He's an idiot, though. When people went, he's a Russian spy, I'm like, not a chance. No. He'd be talking about that shit all day long. Yeah. And then I said to the other spy guys in the room, and I'm the best spy guy in the room, by the way, we all know that. Yeah. So she has argued, Candace Owens, has argued that Trump has neither engaged in rhetoric that is harmful to African Americans, nor proposed policies that would harm African Americans. She said in October 2018 that she had never voted and had only recently become a registered Republican. The Guardian has described Owens as ultra-conservative, and New York Magazine and the Columbia Journalism Review have described her as right-wing. You think? The Daily Beast has called her views far-right, and the Pacific Standard called her a member of the alt-right, although she has rejected both terms. Owens has said, the left hates America, and Trump loves it. She has said that the left is destroying everything through this cultural Marxist ideology. And I take exception to that, because I have no idea. They keep saying that cultural Marxism. Yeah. And, it doesn't...
Well, I mean, you were talking about history earlier, and it's like the effects of slavery are still with us, and in there I hear the effects of the Cold War, are still with us.
Oh yeah,
a lot of that language is still, it's Cold War language. It's so, Marxism bad, socialism bad. If you're left, you're anti-American. So it's familiar, and this was something that the state, the U.S., was programming its people to believe for the better part of 50 years.
Yes. Well,
the same sources that are decrying her now.
But I still don't understand how a woman of color, you know, because as much as, you know, racism, you know, it's all young black men who are getting murdered by the police. But, you know, women of color, they have, and you know, to use the term, it's intersectional racism, because
it's like if you're black, it's bad. But then we could add force multipliers. If you're a woman, it's worse.
It's
if you're
worse,
gay, it's worse.
Exactly. So race relations. She's a big critic of the Black Lives Matter movement.
What power does this woman have, though? Who is she?
Well, apparently she's... Like, I didn't know anything about her until today.
Dude, it's a big world. There's a lot of crazy fucks out there, and...
Well, she described Black Lives Matter protesters as... Yeah. As a bunch of whiny toddlers.
Yeah.
So making friends wherever she goes. Uh-huh. Who are oppressed for attention. And I see, so I don't understand it. She is not the only person of color who is staunchly conservative and, may I say, racist, probably. Because the other guy that I was aware of a couple of years ago now So there is an organization called the Proud Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Canada, they're pretty white and pretty racist.
And pretty proud.
Yeah, and pretty proud of being both white and racist. And so these inbred hillbillies showed up at a First Nations ceremony. I think it was in the Maritimes, Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, and basically disrupted it. And as it turns out, some of these members of the Proud Boys were also members of our fine Canadian military, our armed forces. And then that caused like a big investigation. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, surprise, surprise, a lot of white supremacist types joined the military.
Well, they like guns.
Yes.
And that's the only way you have to shoot guns a lot in Canada is in the military.
We need them to get trained and all this. But anyways, the leader...
And it's perfect because, I mean, our military tends to kill people in Africa.
Yes. There you go.
It's a fit.
Good point. Yeah. So the leader of the Proud Boys in America is Enrique Terrio,
mm-hmm.
who describes himself as Afro-Cuban because he is.
Yeah.
A black man, a black Afro-Cuban mm-hmm. man, Latino, black, whatever, mm-hmm. is leading a racist organization of young white men.
Here's my position on this.
Okay.
These organizations, they're fringe, they're bullshit, and if we pay too much attention to them, we're going to lose the plot. We're going to lose the plot. I think we have a lot of people angry right now because shit just hasn't gotten better, no matter who the political party was. So that provides me with some understanding, perhaps, on maybe why a black person would find Trump appealing. Because Trump just shat on everything. He shat on the Democrats. He shat on the entire Republican committee. And it was like, this is something new. Because whatever was old, whether it was Republican or Democrat, because black men were dying under Obama, black men were dying under Clinton. Like, things have not changed. Maybe they thought that inviting something in new would sort of provide the change that they're looking for. Obviously, it fucking wasn't going to. But I like to empathize with people. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to ridicule a woman for being black and being conservative. Crazy? Being conservative.
Well, I think there are a lot of black people who would beg to differ. Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm sure they would. But
anyways, it's a crazy world, and I promised, and this is you know, for your benefit, mm-hmm. Arj, to get back to the COVID-19 mm-hmm. conspiracy thing. Lay a few of them on me?
Okay, before we leave our racism talk.
Yes.
I got my ear to the streets.
Okay.
In conspiracy world.
I know you do.
You do. You want to hear a conspiracy involving George Floyd?
Yes.
Now this is a fucking conspiracy.
All right.
Okay. George Floyd worked at a strip club, right?
Yeah.
As a bouncer.
And so did the cop.
So did he, yeah. Oh, for God's sakes. Let me just turn that off. Hey, Moni. You're live on a podcast right now, so I'll call you later. Okay? Hello? This is all on air right now. I did not water your trees. I will, ma'am. I will, ma'am. Sorry. Bye. Bye. Hi.
Water them trees.
Suburban life. Got to water those trees. George Floyd worked in the strip club.
With the cop who also worked in the strip club. Who killed him.
So here's the little thing I picked up.
All right.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
That strip club did not close during COVID. It did close, but its financial operations continued.
Okay.
Because it is a CIA money laundering front. George Floyd, because he works there, has access to counterfeit money.
Right.
He's walking around town spending this money.
Yeah.
So he needs to be roughed up.
Right.
He needs to be told to stop this. Otherwise, the cover will be blown.
They went to the white cop and said, you're the guy to do it?
Yeah.
Only he was an idiot.
Or he heard it on the horn. Who knows? People don't think these theories out too well. But it's a juicy one.
It's
a juicy one. And because things like that have existed before.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That is true. But
the CIA has laundered money many times.
Oh, God.
Usually involved in the drug trade.
Yes.
To finance wars in other parts of the world.
George Floyd did test positive for COVID-19, though. And I guess that's where that...
And fentanyl?
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. You know what I mean?
Who cares? Really, does any of that matter?
No, I suppose.
Someone jammed their knee into his neck for 8 minutes.
So the original racist conspiracy mm-hmm. theory regarding COVID-19, and it involves our own Dr. Teresa Tam, who is the chief medical officer in Canada. Yeah. So Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who was the WHO director general for a 5-year term elected by WHO member states. He's the first WHO director general to have been elected from multiple candidates by the World Health Assembly. Anyways, bottom line was, because he is from Ethiopia, formerly the Ethiopian Minister of Foreign Affairs, and China invested a shitload of money in their, Belt and Road thing in Ethiopia.
Yeah, they're the primary sort of source for loans in Africa.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what a lot of people said was that he helped China cover up COVID-19 and that none of us would be even doing all this lockdown and social distancing, yada, 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 if it hadn't been for the big WHO cover up.
Although if you're going to protest, you don't need to social distance, folks.
No, apparently not.
Because COVID's not real.
And also Teresa Tam, who's our chief medical officer, they're saying, and she's in on it too, because she's Chinese. So she must be. She's a doctor. And so they're saying that you listen to those guys from the WHO, and that's why
She's compromised.
She's compromised. Of course she listened to the WHO, because it's the World Health Organization. It's not the guy who lives next door to your World Health Organization.
Who's pushing this conspiracy?
So two conservative MPs here in Canada.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Dr. Tam must go. Canada must remain sovereign over decisions. The UN, the WHO, and the Chinese communist propaganda can never again have a say over Canada's public health. Yeah. And that was Derek Sloan. Mm-hmm. Who's an up-and-coming MP from rural Ontario. Yeah. Let's not forget the rural part, you inbred hillbilly. So, and one of four candidates in the leadership race. So he's saying, does she work for Canada or China, he said also.
He doesn't believe that. He's working his base. He's pulling a page from the Trump book.
But it's not not helpful. Is what I'm saying.
If you want to become, if you want to work that angle and become the leader of the Conservative Party and sort of mimic the modern iteration of the Republican Party, maybe it will. I don't think it will in Canada.
No.
It could, though.
Well, and yes, it could.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how much fun it's been.
Yeah.
I hope you all enjoyed listening to us rant, rave, babble on, and make things up for the last hour and 3 minutes, almost 4 minutes.
Yep.
I had a great time.
Yeah,
and had a good time too. I hope you will join us every week on Wallace Hartley Presents the podcast. And also, we're still looking for a name.
We are still looking for a name. So if you guys have any names, suggest them. We got Bald Fucking Brown Face. That didn't like that one. That was mean. It really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. You made that up, though. So, yes, thanks for joining us. Please, you can also catch us on the usual places with the podcast, but also over on YouTube. You can actually see what we look like.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something you don't even want to go there. You don't want to venture, but it's a dual thing. So it's YouTube and all the usual places the for your places. Favorite podcasts. And thanks for stopping by. Stay safe. Stay home. Try your absolute best not to be a dick. Thanks.
Fight the power. Bye.
Bye-bye.